Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bieland, and as an HSP psychotherapist and founder of Sensitive Empowerment, I'm excited to share this podcast with you. My mission is to teach you how to balance and honor your sensitive nervous system, understand your incredible value, love who you are, and empower you to flourish in your full potential. I love featuring highly sensitive people worldwide to bring unique perspectives that shed light on what it's like to experience life as an HSP. By exploring high sensitivity from different angles, I hope to create a sense of normalization and validation that supports your journey. To further your understanding of high sensitivity, I invite you to explore all our episodes and discover tools in my online courses to help HSPs overcome the challenges of living in a world not set up for our levels of sensitivity. That way, you can fully embrace the many gifts that come with this trait. For more information, visit sensitiveconnection.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Okay, so welcome everyone. I am Gemma Sandwell, and today's topic is how positive psychology and shadow work helps HSPs to flourish. And we're recording live today in the Sensitive Empowerment Community, which is a positive alternative to social media for sensitive people. And you can learn more about us and join us at sensitivecommunity.com. So I am Gemma Sandwell, and I am an energy alignment coach. And this journey that's led me here today to sharing this all with you has been a 17-year journey of learning, experience, lots of lessons along the way that has brought together this methodology that I use both with myself and with clients as a highly sensitive person to really help me flourish. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is two main parts of what I call the PEMS model, P-E-M-S. I know it sounds a little bit like PMS, but it's not. And in that model brings together the elements of everything that I have learned, everything that I've been through, and everything that I teach into one place. So I'll tell you a little bit about the model and then how positive psychology and shadow work come into this. So the PEMS model starts with, the P is for positive psychology, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. The E is energy, which I'm sure a lot of us as HSPs know the importance of energy, clearing our energy, you know, going to busy places, and so on and so forth. And the M of the PEMS model is mindfulness. And this has been a big part of my journey, has been that realization of mindfulness and a mindful awareness, in terms of taking care of myself as an HSP. And then lastly, the S in the model is shadow work. And this was something that I discovered later in my journey. So the two main elements of this model, I'm going to bring these together for you today, are positive psychology and shadow work, because I believe that they are the ones that really can help us flourish as HSPs, and have they've had really amazing shifts for me as well, personally. So what is positive psychology? So I want to share a little story with you first. So I'd like you to imagine, as a highly sensitive, going to a busy city. And I went to London to study positive psychology. And I usually get quite or at the time got quite anxious about being in a busy city and transport and noise and hustle and bustle and the overwhelm and things like that. When I got on to day three of the course, it was a 6-day course initially, and then it sort of led on from there, I felt the most inner peace I have ever felt in general in my whole life, let alone being in central London along the hustle and bustle. So I knew that something quite magical was happening there. And I went to my hotel room after these after the first day, I think it was, of the learning, and I just started to cry. And I just had this realization of like, wow, my life doesn't have to be the way that I thought it was. Like, I can actually be happy. There's a way for me to be happy. And I started to feel those shifts just in day one. So it really did have quite a profound impact on me when I started to learn this as a tool. And at that moment in time, this was around 2013, 2014, I had really quite extreme anxiety. I couldn't talk to, I worked in financial services at the time, and I couldn't talk up in a work meeting. I could just about like say something if someone picked on me, but I never really, like, I was never able to speak up. And I went from that to being able to do a TEDx, and I did a TEDx in 2019. And that was down to me applying these tools to my life and improving my anxiety. So yes, at my TEDx, I had to really look after myself as an HSP and honor my energy and, you know, what it was that I needed to get on that stage. And not go to the networking meal afterwards, even though there were celebrities there. Everyone was saying, you're missing out. I was like, I'm really not. I really just prefer to be on my sofa with a pizza that evening. But this is that process that helped you get me there. So what is positive psychology? And I'm sure there will be varying views and experiences of it across this community. So basically, traditional psychology looks at what is wrong with people and how do we fix it. And a lot of organizations in the world as well kind of operate off this level. What's wrong? How do we use that to kind of create a label and then fix that thing? Even in business, like when I used to work in financial services, you know, there was post-implementation reviews. What went wrong with that project? How do we make that better? But what the research of positive psychology shows is we can flip this all on its head. And when we look at what's right with people, what's right with organizations, and we can start to facilitate practices that increase our positive emotion, what happens is we experience those positive emotions and they start to fuel our brain and light up the brain regions and the areas responsible for creativity, productivity, focus, and shut down our fight or flight response. So our amygdala in the brain, it does not know the difference between a real tiger attacking us and something that causes us stress or anxiety. So positive psychology, when brought into our lives, and in particular, the research has shown if we can start some practices in just 21 days, it can start to make structural changes in the brain. And one of those structural changes is it actually shrinks that amygdala down, that fight or flight center actually shrinks down. And that's how we become more resilient. So this whole thing about what doesn't kill us makes us stronger is not actually true. When we look at the latest research, it's actually positive resilience is actually the way that our brains work. By flooding it with feel-good chemicals, we start to shrink that amygdala down. We build the areas of our brain responsible for creativity, productivity, focus, and flow. So it really does make a difference, especially when we are highly sensitive and more likely to, because of our sensory receptors, more likely to become overwhelmed, more likely to have anxiety, because there's simply more things going on for us in our environment. If we're flooding our brain with that positive emotion, the neurochemicals of that positive emotion can really build that positive resilience for us. So that's why it can help us. So I'd like to invite you today. I'm very much a practical teacher. So I'd very much like to get into this today. And those that are watching me on live, I'd love for you to pop in the comments what you are grateful for today. And the reason we're going to use gratitude is because it's one of the elements that I used in my research that I talk about in my TEDx. And it was one of the favorites. So there was five activities in that I used in my research, which I talk about in TEDx. And gratitude was one of the favorites. It was one of the most commonly picked ones. So let's make this a little bit interactive today. And those joining me live, I'd love for you to pop in the comments what you are grateful for today. And while we're waiting for those to come through, I'll share what I'm grateful for today. I live near some forest and the sea, and I walked down there earlier and got to see the sea and have some nature. So I'm very, very grateful that I live near the beach and the woods and the forest. Amazing. So Elizabeth is grateful for find this community and you can show up live today. I'm very grateful that you're here live today, Elizabeth, as well. And you're grateful that you were on the beach barefoot for sunrise. Oh, beautiful. Amazing. I love that. I love the sunrise. Sunrise is here as well because I'm in the east. Tiffany, grateful for a cup of matcha latte in quiet time. I do love a matcha latte, I will have to say. That is one of my favourites. Lisa, you're grateful for being here right now with a nice cup of coffee. Amazing. Thank you, Lisa. I also love tea, coffee. Like, I'm actually, yeah, I'm a real fan of tea and coffee. Becca is grateful for self-growth, with opportunities to learn from others' experience and teachings. Amazing. Yes, I am. Yeah. One of the things that I do and I work with in positive psychology is a strengths profile. One of my top strengths is growth. So I guess that's why I'm here. Amazing. So gratitude. Dana is grateful for learning new things and being surrounded by HSPs here. Amazing. Yes, me too. It always feels like a lovely, safe community to be here. So yeah, thank you for having me. So gratitude works because the more things that we intentionally think about that we're grateful for, the more we start to see things that we are grateful for, and we start to build that gratitude muscle in the brain, and we start to really create those pathways for that positive emotion. Carolyn is grateful for being here, having a house, lovely yard, two cats, and a 96-year-old mother. Oh, amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Carolyn. Amazing. So the more that we intentionally are grateful, the more we will see things that we are grateful for, and the more that will enhance that in our brains, the more that we will experience that positive emotion because the brain pathways are there. So the way I describe this and the way that I talk about this in TEDx is like a pathway through the woods. So if you think about it, the first time you take a new pathway through the woods, it might be a little bit overgrown and there might be some twigs and branches in the way. But the more you walk down that pathway, the more people take that pathway through the woods, the more that pathway is nicely and clearly defined. And this is what we're doing with the brain positive psychology. We are continually walking that pathway when we intentionally bring these practices into our lives and into our businesses as well. So another thing I teach is like the how of happy businesses, and it works both in our lives and our businesses. The more this pathway becomes defined, so more easily the gratitude drops in. And I was speaking at an event locally a few years ago, and I set everyone the challenge of how many things they could think about that they were grateful for in 2 minutes. And one guy came up with like 70 things. It was just absolutely mind-blowing. And that really inspired me. So if I'm having a particularly bad day, or if I get stuck in traffic, which I find really overwhelming as an HSP, I will go above and beyond with my gratitudes. I will sit in the car and I'll make myself name at least 10 things out loud that I'm grateful for. And that shifts that fight or flight mode really easily. So gratitude is one of the activities, and I'll tell you what all five are, and we've obviously practiced one of those today. So the other activities, which nicely come into, my TEDx was all about trees. These nicely come into the model trees. So T in the trees model is thankful. So gratitudes, we've talked about that today. The R in the trees model is random acts of kindness. So I'm sure we've all seen the research about how acts of kindness can change the brain and how they're really important from a well-being perspective. But a little warning here, I guess I will say, is to make sure, as I'm sure we all know, all hearing that phrase, make sure your cup is full first. Where I've seen this be really beneficial is when you're doing those acts of kindness to both yourself and others. So you're giving from that full cup. And that works because of the mirror neurons in the brain. So when you give to someone else, and if you can see their reaction, it's even better. The mirror neurons in your brain will fire and you will mirror that reaction. So the kindness that you're giving and the kindness that person is receiving is reflected back to you in the energy of that, because it triggers the mirror neurons in your brain. So the mirror neurons don't know the difference. That's why when athletes visualize doing an activity, it has the same effect, almost like as powerfully, as actually doing that exercise. So visualization is, you know, also activating those mirror neurons. So that's the R of the trees model, is random acts of kindness. E is exercise, but recently, because I'm also a quantum healer and have recently been training in energy, the E is exercise and energy. So it is moving our bodies and getting those endorphins flowing, but it's also energy, and knowing that we need to move our energy, which exercise is obviously part of, but also as HSPs, it is clearing our energy as well. Yeah, we can, you know, we need to clear our energy after we've been to busy places, because we can pick up energy. And in the quantum healing practice that I do, we clear energies through this as well. So I've added E in later on into the model. And the second E is express in writing, basically because J wouldn't fit into trees, journaling. So we're going to do a little bit of journaling today, but we're going to do that in the section about shadow work, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. And in particular, positive journaling is what had a dramatic impact on those that took part in my research. So journaling about the things that day that had gone well for them. And again, those mirror neurons came in and the person re-experienced those things that they went well during the day. And the brain didn't know the difference between journaling on what had happened and actually being there in the present moment and it happening in the moment. So an extra boost of that positive emotion was happening. You can combine these as well. So sometimes I will journal on what I am grateful for. As I am quite spiritual and into energy, I will journal sometimes like as if I was my future self to manifest that happening. So I'll kind of combine my work on the with quantum physics and positive psychology in together and kind of go, right, let's journal as that future self. So I kind of blend, sort of start to blend those modalities there. So you can combine these together. Some of the people that took part in my research study, they walked around the block while they said their gratitudes. And that was them sort of, you know, combining them and putting them together. And then lastly, the S on the trees model, so T-R-E-E-S, is stay present, which is mindfulness. And mindfulness again has those really beneficial effects on the brain of actually, there's some incredible research out there. There's some research from Harvard Business Review that was really mind-blowing about the impact that mindfulness meditation had on shrinking down that amygdala part of the brain. So remember, as HSPs, when our amygdala is much more likely to get overstimulated and activated, our brains and bodies don't know the difference between a tiger attacking us and just a stressful situation. So by bringing in that mindfulness practice can help improve those brain areas around the fight or flight response, which can really, really benefit us. So the trees models, we've got thankful, which is gratitude. We've got random acts of kindness. We've got exercise and energy, express in writing, which is journaling, and stay present, which is mindfulness. And those that took part in my study were given the task to meditate for at least 10 minutes every day. And I do have a bit of a story about one of the participants, actually. He's more than happy for me to share this. He's been shared like all over the place, because his experience was quite profound. So one of my participants in the study, Simon, he decided that he was going to practice mindful cycling. So rather than do meditation, he decided he was going to cycle to work and be really present with that cycle to work. and notice everything like around him and his environment, his senses. And he used to find that he was cycling to work, worrying about what was going to happen that day. What was he going to find? What was going to happen when he opened his emails? And he would cycle home from work thinking, what went wrong today? What am I going to find when I get through the door? Like, what are the wife and kids going to be like? And he started to bring his attention back to the present moment. And it took time and it took practice bringing his attention back to that present moment on his cycle ride. And one day I was in the cafe and I saw him coming up to me with this big beaming smile on his face. I was like, well, what is he going to tell me? He's got a story for me. And he said, I was cycling along and he said, I saw a wasp and that wasp flew towards me and it went into my cycle helmet. And he said, I stopped, took off my helmet, wasp flew away, no drama, no problem. And he said to me, I'm so grateful for these tools that you've taught me, because I know full well a month ago, I would have been stung before I'd have even known that that wasp was there. So he's known as Wasp Simon and his story gets told all over the country. But yeah, it just goes to show like how that present moment and slowing down and through using the tools of positive psychology, and we sort of did further coaching on this as well. He actually moved into a role in the organization that like completely suited his strengths as well. So strengths is also another part of positive psychology, and doing things that we love and light us up. And we can use these as a way to, again, increase that positive emotion, increase doing things that really light us up and give us energy. And they're actually giving our brain energy. So our brain is firing, which is giving us energy for so much more when we use our strengths as well. So just take a moment to reflect on what are the things that you love doing that bring you that sense of joy, that are easy and light you up. And the key thing with strengths, there's a bit of a misconception with this, that it's about just things that you're good at. But remember, we may have learned things and there's certain like conditionings and things that we've learned to be good at that don't necessarily light us up. So they're not necessarily strengths. So that's super important, especially as HSPs, that we're being really intentional about how we're spending our time and energy on things that actually bring us energy and light us up. And strengths is a way of doing that. So I'm going to move on to shadow work. So just to summarize, with positive psychology, it helps us because it's lighting up those brain regions that help us be more productive, more creative, more energized, and closing down those brain regions that are responsible for the fight or flight mode, the stress, the anxiety. We've got the trees model. So those five activities: thankful, random acts of kindness, exercise and energy, express in writing, and staying present. And then using our strengths, so doing things that really light us up and make us feel energized. All of these things can be really fueling our brains. And then a final point on this, I'm just gonna have a sip of water. So final point on this is that one of the biggest things I found, so after going on my journey of learning psychology, positive psychology, and becoming a coach, I had quite a neuroscientific background. I was all about the science, the research, the brain, the mindset. And I then started to have like what I would call a spiritual awakening after that as well. And I think because I was taking care of myself like to that extra level, I was really getting into alignment. And then I had this awakening. And I started to work with energy and I started to do energy work as well. And I found myself like in the spiritual community and looking for help and support with this awakening that I was going through. And one of the things that I found since then in my journey that in the years since then is that positive psychology and mindfulness actually give us a real grounded basis for our brains, for our lives, for our daily habits, for our businesses. They really are like the roots of the tree. So if we can get these practices in place and have that positive resilience, the roots of the tree, if the roots go deep enough, the branches can grow. So another added benefit of positive psychology I found, and when I sort of came into the spiritual community to sort of share my energy work, my work there, I really noticed those kind of grounded roots were missing. So positive psychology can give us that really grounded scientific basis to explore from. And then obviously the tree branches can grow really high and we can go and we can explore like different dimensions and things. I'm a big fan of working with the quantum field, and we can do that because those grounded roots are in place. So it also gave that additional and gives that additional benefit to us of having those grounded roots in place. So a lot of the clients I work with, we really start with like the science first before we start to talk about energy, before we start working with the quantum field, because it's really important to get that grounding in place. So I'm going to move on to shadow work. So what is shadow work? So shadow work sits at the other end of my PEMS model. So we've got the positive psychology at one end, which deals with the positive emotions and how we ramp those up to be our best versions of ourselves. Shadow work comes more at the other end of the spectrum and comes more into the negative emotions. So shadow work is a term coined by Carl Jung. And shadows are really things that we have pushed down or repressed parts of ourselves. And those parts are in our subconscious mind, and we don't always know that they're there until we do shadow work. So what I want to say, first of all, is if you haven't done any shadow work before, here's a couple, and we're going to actually do some today. So if you haven't experienced shadow work before, here's a couple of hints when you might need to do shadow work. And this is an ongoing process. I see this like layers of an onion with any personal development work that we do. You know, there might be a layer, then something else might come up, there might be another layer. I really do see it as a constant journey of growth and evolution. So firstly, having strong emotional reactions and triggers to situations. If we are being triggered by a situation, it is likely that there is a shadow in there that has been pushed down a long time ago. So I'll give you an example of this. When I was 5, I think I was in a cafe with my mum and my sister, and me and my sister were eating, drinking in this cafe very quietly, well behaved, not making much mess. And around us was kind of chaos and these other children running around. And an old lady came up to me and my sister and gave us a pound coin each and said, "This is for being the quiet, well-behaved girls in this cafe. Well done. You're the most well-behaved children in here." So I was financially rewarded at age 5 for being a quiet, well-behaved girl. So anything around me being noisy or demanding or selfish, like anything like that, was really pushed down in me. So they're usually things that we're told as a child, like, don't be this, don't be that, don't be too much of this, don't be too much of that. And a lot of conditioning around certain sort of things that we go through as children, those things become shadows and they start to become beliefs in our subconscious mind that can be running the show. So another window to those shadows is manifestation. So if you are manifesting something, I'm looking at my vision board over there. If you are manifesting something and it is not working, the likelihood is because in your subconscious mind, there is the opposite thing. So because the way that manifestation works in the quantum field is that everything is a vibration. So we have to become a vibrational match for that thing that we desire. And this works, I'm going to get a little bit geeky here, so just bear with me. On an atomic level, atoms bond to similar atoms. So if we want to, this is a really silly example, if we want to manifest a pen, we have to become a vibrational match for a pen. So the pen's atoms bond together, okay? So if you are consciously manifesting something and you've got your vision board and you're writing your affirmations down and it's not working, it could be because there's actually a shadow where you desire the opposite. So an example of this was my anxiety. I struggled with anxiety for years. A lot of those years were before I established I was HSP and realized a lot of it was just sensory overwhelm. But on some level, no matter what I did, I still had this anxiety. And I tried lots of different therapies, lots of different techniques, and none of them ever really worked until I discovered shadow work. And I really had to think about this. And it was like, why do I desire to have anxiety? And conscious, I was going, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. But on some level, I did want it because it was there. Okay, so everything that is in our reality is in some level, we desire it. And this is that work of Carl Jung. There's another, you know, several other really good books about shadow. Debbie Ford is a really good one. And basically, it's representing part of us. So I had to really deeply look at this and go, why do I desire anxiety? I had to dig really deep. And I realized that when I was anxious, I ate bad food. I had a glass of wine. I had some chocolate. I got help from people. I got to go and have therapy, which I loved exploring myself. So there really were benefits of having anxiety. And when I looked at these and I gave them some space and said, okay, maybe on some level I do want this, it balanced out the energy of it and it gave that subconscious shadow some light, and then that balanced it out. So what I would love to do today is actually, again, let's be interactive. And if anyone has a journal and pen with you, I would love for you to think about something that you've got at the moment that you don't desire. Okay, so this could be anything. It could be your just something in your life. It could be maybe you're not making enough money, or you desire a partner, or whatever that thing might be. I would like you to think about, and you can also think about something that you really don't want, like with my anxiety, like, is there something about yourself that you really don't want and you're trying to sort it out, trying to fix it in some way? And I'd like you to just write down some reasons why you might desire this thing. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a couple of moments to do that. And I want you to really dig deep here and think about why you might desire this thing. And if anyone is feeling like they would like to share in the chat box what the shadows are and why they might desire them, then please feel free. Well, we're waiting to see if any of those come through. I just want to share with you something that I see very commonly with shadows, especially as HSPs. What I see is a bit of a dynamic with empathic and narcissistic behaviors. Now, this was something that I had an experience of, where I kept attracting narcissistic people into my life. And consciously, I didn't want that. I found that very difficult, very challenging. And when I looked at this and looked at why, I can see some coming through, amazing. When I looked at why I might desire this, I didn't desire it at all. But what it was actually showing me was I was over empathy. I was like right on that end of over empathy. And I didn't have enough of that little bit of ego that the narcissist was showing me. So sometimes these situations, especially if they're around certain traits or certain relationships that we are attracting, they're showing us a little gift. So this can also sometimes come up as a gift. And when I stepped into having stronger boundaries, upping my self-care, being a little more selfish, being a little bit like more forthcoming and asking for what I need and asking for help, and stepped like out of that over empathy the narcissistic people left my life because they were no longer a vibrational match, that part of me that was trying to come out. So I'm just going to have a read through the comments. Okay, Carolyn, amazing. So clutter, less work, aloneness, no visitors. Yeah, absolutely. So you might consciously say you don't want the clutter, but subconsciously you're saying, if I have to keep the clutter there, then no one will come and visit me, and you desire that on some level. So yeah, shadows can come out as triggers, which I think triggers are even more important for us as HSPs to look at, because a lot of us were much more susceptible with our extrasensory receptors, much more susceptible to creating those shadows in childhood and being, you know, overly cautious of what people think and needing to take on certain views and beliefs and things. So this is why I personally believe that shadow work can help us enormously as HSPs, because we've got, you know, we can have a lot of those sort of subconscious desires. But equally, with that relationship example that I gave with the empath narcissist dynamic, I think a lot of us lean towards that empathic side as well. And yeah, you know, we've developed that over time, and that can become, you know, we can have that over empathy that we've developed over time as well. So shadow work can really help us to discover those traits that are in us that could really help us and serve us going forward, that we've pushed down a very, very long time ago. So just to summarize today what we have talked about. So we've talked about positive psychology and how that has helped, can help us to fuel our brain and to be more creative and productive, and focusing on that positive emotion to help fuel our brain and shut down that fight or flight response. And we've talked about shadow work, more that negative side of the spectrum, and how we can help deal with those triggers, those more negative emotions, by looking into the subconscious mind and looking into the things that we're manifesting, the things that we are attracting as well. So if anyone has got any questions, please pop them into the chat and I'll answer some questions for the last few minutes of today's session. Becca, great question. Thank you. Is shadow work the same as inner child work? Very, very similar, Becca. Yes, because the most shadows were created when we were children. So as we are looking at the shadows and looking in the subconscious mind, we are definitely looking at the same types of things, but they are slightly different. I personally see them as slightly different, because shadow work could be shadows that we have pushed down at any point in our lifetime. Like most of the time it is as a child. Whereas inner child work, I would say, is more about honoring that child and communicating with that version of you to see what they need. So I would say inner child work is more focused on like child you specifically and your needs, and maybe needs that weren't met, which of course a lot of those can cause shadows. Whereas shadow work is more looking at the subconscious energy around it. So yes, they're very inextricably linked, slightly different routes into doing the work as well, but very, yeah, very similarly linked. So for example, like hypnotherapy as a practice is shadow work, and it does inner child work as part of that as well. So yeah, they're very closely linked together. Any other questions? Great question. Thank you, Becca. We often hear about reparenting our inner child. Could you offer resources to sharpen our skills? Yes. So, so one thing that I will share with you is I offer a lot of resources on shadow work. There is a free 5-step to energy alignment guide that you can get a copy of on my website, www.gemmasandwell.com. And we go into shadow work there. In terms of books that I would recommend, I really recommend Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford. That is a fantastic book on shadow work. And also Existential Kink by Carolyn Elliott. That takes it even further into like, why do we like really desire the shadows? It takes it that little bit, it's a little bit saucy a bit because it's about existential kink. So why do we like really, really desire it? They would be the top two that I would recommend for shadow work. And of course, on the positive psychology front, I would say The Happiness Advantage by Sean Acor. It's Sean's research that I replicated, which I talk about in my TEDx. I did it in a slightly different way. And also Positivity by Barbara Fredrickson. In particular, there's some really great research in there about positive environments and how they can affect our creativity. So I think there's a few people that would be really interested in that as well, which I didn't have time to go into today. But if I did have more time, that would be what I would have talked about. Okay, so we've come to the end of today's session. Thank you so much, everyone, for your questions. And thank you for being here with us today. And if you'd like to join our nurturing and supportive community, you can find us at sensitivecommunity.com. And we look forward to connecting with you there. So yes, my website is www.gemmasandwell.com. Thanks everyone for joining.
Hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll share it with others so we can help HSPs all over the world know their value. Also, there are so many more resources I invite you to explore that have been created for highly sensitive people to help you reduce the challenges and help you access your fullest potential. Join us for our next live episode in the Sensitive Empowerment Community. It's a special place to connect to me and other HSPs dedicated to growth and empowerment. Visit juliebielen.com or sensitiveconnection.com to explore all these resources and join us. And please take care of your beautiful sensitive self.